I'd like to start first. Has anybody ever, when they looked at your house, has anybody ever said, what a beautiful house you have? Yes? You have a very nice house, right? How many of you have ever had somebody say to you, you have a really beautiful house foundation? Anybody ever heard that? Your foundation is beautiful. As we talk about the church of Jesus Christ, I think it's important, and this series is rather, like most series of sermons that you get, meant to be a 20 to maybe at most 30-minute sermon, and you know me, I can't even do anything in that length of time. I can brush my teeth in that length of time, but seriously. But I want to get to the foundation of the church. I think we need to understand a little bit more about the church before we talk about the inner workings of the church, the foundation of the church. We know that the foundation in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says that there is no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation of Christ's church is Jesus. And what does that mean? That means this, that the foundation upon which every church is built upon is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ is God's only Son, that God sent him into the world, and that he was crucified for our sins. And our sins were absorbed by Jesus Christ when he died on the cross, and he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are saved through believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's the only way that we can get to heaven. If you're hoping to get to heaven because you're trying to live a good life, you're starting to come to church, you're trying to be a good person, when you stand before God, he'll say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. The only way into heaven is through Jesus Christ. Now, when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, by one Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. By one Spirit are we all, every believer in Jesus Christ, is baptized or placed into the body of Christ. That's the church. Whether we are Jew or Greek or Gentile, we have all been made to drink of one Spirit. Every one of us who are saved by faith in Jesus Christ are a member of the church. In Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to ask you to turn there, and in Acts chapter 1, Peter preached a message. And I'm going over this rather quickly because we have 5 weeks to do this series in. And I know I don't have to do it in five, I can do it in 25. But I don't want to bore you beyond recognition. But in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached to the people. And there were thousands of people, thousands, who were in Jerusalem for a feast, a holiday celebration. And there were all these people from different countries. And they heard the disciples, the believers in Jesus, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke in languages. And these people from other countries heard them speaking in their language. And I mean, can you imagine, seriously, can you imagine if somebody who didn't know your language suddenly began to proclaim Jesus Christ is the Lord, is the Messiah, in their language, and they didn't know how to speak that language, but they're speaking it fluently, it would get your attention. And people started gathering. I mean, there was a strong wind and a loud noise, and people gathered to hear these people speak in their languages. And when they did, Peter stood up and preached to explain to them what was happening. And he preached to them that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He was a long-awaited and promised Messiah. And then he preached to them, and you people, crucify him. You crucified him. You didn't recognize who he was, and you took him and you crucified him. But God raised him from the dead, and he's poured out his spirit upon us. And now he says in verse 40 of chapter 2, and with many other words, that is Peter, testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this wicked generation. Boy, I would say that today. Be saved. Come out of this wicked world. Be saved from it. Come to Jesus Christ. Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly and in the apostles' teachings and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and singleness of heart. Look at that. It says simplicity in the New King James, but it's singleness. It's singleness of heart. They praised God and had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to what? The church. The Lord added to the church those who would be saved. Now, the church is a Greek term, ek. Aaron, what does the word ek mean?
Out of.
And then what does the word klesia mean?
Called out.
Called out of. The word church is the word ek klesia, to be called out of. The church is called out. What would we be called out of? The world, that's right. We're called out of this world's living system and living lifestyle. We're called to become out of it and called to come into the church. And that makes us different. And what did Jesus say in John 17? That I have given them your word, Jesus said. And who has hated them? The world. The world has hated them because it hated me also. And it will also hate them. And then he goes on to say, set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. That's what makes the church different from the world. The teachings of the Bible. So we are the ecclesia, the church, called out of the world, called together to believe in Christ, and to live differently than the world, because we believe the word. Which takes me now to the book of Ephesians quickly, chapter 2. I think Dave mentioned this in a Sunday school lesson. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, now therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners. Now, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You are members of God's house or family. That's who we are. Now, it goes on to say, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In other words, faith in Jesus Christ is a cornerstone of the church, and the writings of the apostles and prophets, which are the New Testament, the church is built upon those teachings. That's so important to understand the church. Our church and every church should be built upon this book, the words and teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles. Amen? And if it's not, it's not a genuine church. It's not the true church. As who intended it? As God intended it. God intends that his church is built upon the Word of God. Amen? I mean, this place should be shouting, jumping up and down, because it's true. It's true. These truths today are very important truths. I didn't even realize, you know, sometimes when you really study intensely a subject, you say, wow, there is a lot more to the church than you ever thought about. And I hope you see that in this study. Now, the next question I want to ask, let's get into the practical stuff. The church is built upon the Bible. The church is built upon the faith of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And there is no other foundation for the church. And the church are the called out ones from the world to Jesus Christ and to come together as a body. Now, there are many local churches. There's only one church, by the way. There's only one church. It's not the Baptist church. Larry, is that true? Thank you. That's true. It's not the Methodist church. It's not the Catholic church. Because you were a Catholic. I'm kidding. And so were others of you. It's not. And you know what makes, I hear so many times people say, who come out of a church that's never been taught the Bible, and they come to a church like this, and they hear the Bible, and they suddenly say, what have I been missing? What have I been missing all these years? I mean, they've been in churches for years and years and years and years, and never even heard the teaching of the Bible. But I want to ask this question. What do people think of when they think of going to church? Pardon me? Going to a building. We even think the church is a building, but the church isn't the building. You know, the church, Peter talks about being built together as living stones. We grow up into a holy temple. Amen? We are the stones of the church. People. We're living stones. We're not dead stones. We're not material stones. We, the people, are the church. But what do people think when they think of going to church? Now you're going to laugh. Oh, you can't see it. Let's turn the lights down. Do they think it's like going to the dentist? I didn't pick this slide because they're Muslim, believe me. And they may not be Muslim. They could be some. I just thought that was a funny picture. But did they think that's like going to the dentist? Do some people think going to church is like going to the dentist? Seriously, I'm serious now. That's true. Some people think that going to church is like going to the dentist. They do. Let me tell you, they do. I love that picture, too. That was good. Oh, what an experience. Or do they see it like a trip to the Department of Motor Vehicles? How many of you like to go to the Department of Motor Vehicles, take a number, sit there for 3 hours, and then they take your picture and it looks like this? I mean, seriously now, come on, tell me the truth. And you think, I don't want that picture. My wife is so particular about a picture. I shouldn't pick on her. But there you go. Or how about grocery lines? Do you really look forward to grocery lines? How many of you look at all the lines? You go through, look at all the lines and think, that one's going to go the quickest. And you step into that one, and all of a sudden, the cash register runs out of paper. Every time. Every time, without exception, seriously. It's like going to the grocery store. Yeah, I like that picture of that skeleton there. Or maybe you've seen this one. All right, they're all lined up. And can't they read? This is a 10-item line. How many of you have ever, I won't ask you, but seriously, have you ever thought, you idiot, this is 10 items, and they've got 30. I know you well enough. I know me well enough. Or this one. Or maybe it's like seeing this sign. You're on the interstate, and you're in a hurry to get to on vacation, right? And then you see this sign, road construction ahead. What do you think? That drives me nuts. I'm serious. I'm always in a hurry. You know that. They think nightmare ahead. That's what I think. And then I've been there and done that too, by the way. And then nothing like road construction to make a long trip more longer. Honestly, am I not telling the truth? You hate those things. And I know you do. I hate them. I hate going to the grocery store. I don't mind going to the grocery store. It's when you have to line up that I hate. I'm sorry, Rick. I forgot you're a grocery man. Rick's the manager. I got the wrong store. Okay. Rick's the manager of Hometown in Duncansville. Hollidaysburg. We have short lines there in Hollidaysburg. They have short lines there. Okay. Okay. Everybody go there. Do we think of the church as a place to go because we have to? I mean, isn't that the grocery store? Isn't that why we go? We go on vacation, and to get there, we have to go through the road, and we just have to accept it. How many of you love to go to the dentist? Seriously. Anybody loves to go to the dentist? Oh, man, you're weird. If they're going to drill, not me. But do we think of the church as a place to go because we have to? I hope not. I went back, got some pictures, or because we love Christ's church. Do we love Christ's church? And I emphasize Christ's church because the truth of the matter is, it is Christ's church. It's not your church, it's not my church, it's Christ's church. And in John 13, we don't have to turn there because it's up on the screen, but in John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said these words. Now he's talking to you. He's talking to you. A new commandment I give you. Love one another just as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So that means that if I don't love the church, because the church are the people, and if I don't love the church, there's something wrong with my heart, or there's something wrong maybe with the church, which there's always something wrong with the church, because it has us, it has you in it. But this new commandment to love each other, just like I'm to love Donnie McAwee just like Jesus loves me. Think about that. Think about that. Love others just like Jesus loves you. Is that the way you love the church? That's when we were in Louisiana. We were helping this lady who was flooded in the middle there. A team of disaster relief people. And we were serving love your church community? Do you love coming to your church community? Do you love coming here? Do you love coming together? Love in serving one another, whether it's through instruments, whether it's through teaching, whether it's through taking the offering. Think about that. Each one of us are to love each other with the abilities that God has given to us. And when we keep the abilities to ourselves and don't use them, we're not loving one another. Practice love in worshiping together. Practice love in teaching Jesus' life and words. We practice love when I teach up here. I practice love for you. We practice love in community. We practice love when we come out to each other's events, and Adria is having a baby shower this afternoon. We practice love for one another when we participate in the activities that help others. And you say, well, I didn't know. I don't know why you didn't know. It's in the bulletin today. I don't know if it's been in before. Has it? Okay. I'm picking on us. But we practice love when we use our lives, our bodies, our gifts, our abilities, when we use them to love each other. That's how you practice love. We practice love imparting Jesus' life and teaching, when we teach the children, in making disciples. Isn't that true? Isn't that what we're doing? We're making followers of Christ. Everything about this church should go toward that end, that we are making disciples who will follow Jesus Christ and his teachings. Love in sharing the gospel. Teachers who stand before their class and share with these children. And these children make decisions, don't they? We have children here this morning who are now older that made decisions while teaching in Awana. Amen? Is that not what it's about? Love. It's all about loving one another in giving of ourselves. And if we're not sharing of our lives and our abilities and our gifts and whatever else God gives us, if we're not participating, then are we loving like Jesus loved us? Do you get the importance of the church? Do you get it? The church is vital, vital as the body of Christ. We are Christ's people. Love and serving. Put Rusty in here. Love and serving others. Now, I love Christ Church. I really do love Christ Church. I have loved Christ Church from the day I was saved. As a 21-year-old hippie walking into a church 40 million years ago when there was hippies. I don't know what a hippie is today. Walking into a church, hair, marijuana shirts, and finding a people who loved me. Brandon, does that ring a bell? Finding in the church love. And I loved that place. I've told you, honestly, a team of horses could not have kept me from being in church. It couldn't keep me away from it. But the lasting purpose we want from this series is that you and I would grow to love like Jesus and being involved in Christ's church, being an involved part. I want each of you to become an involved piece or part in the body of Christ. Whether you're the foot or the hand or the eyes or the ears or the nose or the mouth, you guys love to go to the dentist. Whatever part you are, you have a part. And for you to hold back your part and say, "Ah, I don't want to make a commitment. I don't want to make a commitment. I'm afraid if I make a commitment, it'll cost me something." And I guarantee you it will. It will cost you something. But aren't you glad Christ's love went to the cross? It cost him something, didn't it? To make you a part of the church. But I want us to become an involved part of Christ's church family and of his mission to reach one more for Jesus and to teach them his teachings. That's what makes my bell ring. Jesus wants this unbelieving world to see or understand the love of God for them, that Jesus is their true salvation. Jesus wants to use the church to see the love of God. That every person coming into this building would see the love of Christ practiced in this place, through this people, through you and me. And that's what he said. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if and when you have love for one another." That's the church. Amen? That's the church. Now, Jesus desires strongly for man to turn from their empty ways of life and religion and turn to him as their true and only way to be reconciled to God. And I love that. And to find life's purpose. You know what life's purpose is? It isn't to go to college and get a degree. That's not what it is. That's not your life's purpose. Your life's purpose is to grow to be like Christ and love and reach people with his good news of salvation. And if you miss that life purpose, the greatest life purpose you have is to be a witness to Jesus and to glorify him in the way you live. We use the word love without understanding or distinguishing its meanings. Now let me illustrate that. I love this restaurant. How many ever went to a restaurant and said, "Man, that was good. I'm going back there." Anybody? Caleb's quick to put his hand up. "I love that food." You know, but have you ever, after a while, did you love it? No. It just was an ordinary restaurant after a while. A while ago, I don't know what happened, but all the women of my, in Krista's family and my wife, we were down on vacation in North Carolina, and somehow they entrusted me with my two granddaughters. That was crazy. And I'm playing, you know, eating, drinking tea and eating cookies, and I'm having a good time with them, and I'm thinking, oh my, it was crazy. But I really tried to enjoy it, and then I said, "Let's go to McDonald's." Yay! I was an instant hero. And we went to McDonald's, and they got a kid's meal, and we ate. And then later that night, one of my granddaughters came down, jumped on my lap, and said, "Grampy," gave me a big hug and a kiss. "Thank you. I love you so much." Now, I love this restaurant, but when somebody says, "I love my children and grandchildren," is that different than I love this restaurant? Why? Because one only gives you something, and the other involves a relationship. The church is not here just to give you something. The church is here because we're family. We're related. And there's a different word for love. I love my church. Why? You know, some people, they shop for a church just like you shop for a restaurant. And some people will come to a church and they'll come for a while and they'll say, man, I love this church. And then after a while, they're missing. And it's not that the church doesn't ring their bell anymore. It's just that that kind of love fades. But loving one another doesn't fade. If you're here because you love people, then you're here for the right reason. You love God and you love being with the people. Do we love our church the way we love a restaurant or the way we love our family? I think we love a church the way we love a family. And by the way, isn't it true? And I'm going to say this and I'm going to mean it. But sometimes it's true that our spiritual family is closer to us than our physical family, our biological family. I know that's a strange saying to some of you. But sometimes the people of our church family are closer to us. Now, and I know how close many of you are to your family and how much you love each other, but how much you love your children. I look at Shannon, I know how much she loves Abby. She loves Abby with her whole heart. Right? I mean, you love her with your whole soul. Do you love, and I don't mean you, Jess, but do we love each other that way? Do we love each other the way Jesus loves us? That is an immense amount of love. How do we see our relationship with Christ Church, with one another? How do you see it? How do you see it? Do you see it as something that you can come and go as you please? Do you see it as something that is, if something else is more important, or in my mind, more important, that I'll go to that? Or do we see it as, I love Christ Church. I love the people of Christ Church. Do we love like a restaurant or like our family? And how did Christ love his church? How did Christ love his church? Let's look at that. Look at these verses in 1 John with me. 1 John chapter 4. How did Christ love his church? And I said 4, chapter 3, verse 16. And these verses are intense. God's word is very, very intense. God is, I mean, he's in our faces at times. And here it is. By this we know love. This is how we know what love is. Because he laid down his life for us. Because Jesus laid down his life on the cross and died for our sins. And died because he loved Donnie McAwee. He died because he loved Donnie. He died because he loved Jordan. He died because he loved Mary Beth. He knows us personally. He died for our sins. And that's how we know what love is. Right? Now let's go on. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now that word ought is a Greek word called, named, it's the word ophelo. How many of you have a mortgage? Anybody here have a mortgage? You can confess, it's okay. 90% of us as married couples have a mortgage. How many of you owe the debt to pay that mortgage? You do, you owe it. That's the same Greek word used, that we owe it to each other. We have a debt to each other, to be willing to die for each other. That's how great the love that Jesus had for us. And we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, it goes on to say this. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees a brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? If we're indifferent, if we shut up our heart to others, brothers and sisters in need, then does the love of God dwell in us? It sure isn't being practiced, is it? Dan Reeder, in Sunday school, you said, a song isn't a song until when? You sing it. A bell isn't a bell until you ring it. And love isn't love until you practice it. I'm kidding. I'm having fun today. It's okay. It's okay. These are true things. Love isn't love until we put it into action. Thank you, Dan, for that word. Now look at the rest of these verses, chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we should live through him. And if you're here and not saved through Jesus Christ, please talk to us today. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the acceptable payment for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us, then we also ought. There's that word ophelo again. We have a debt to love one another. It is so important, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that you love each other. With a debt, that you owe a debt towards that person. And even Paul said, I'm indebted to this world to give them the gospel. Now, is all this making sense of the importance of the church? We'll love the church when we perceive that we are Christ's church. And he said, it's all about us loving one another. That's what it's all about. It's all about that. Love that's about family, caring relationships with each other, not like love for a restaurant. Now, I like this in closing, this truth. The holiest moment of the church service is the moment when God's people, strengthened by worship, preaching, and teaching, go out of the church doors into the world to be Christ's church in the world. You see, we don't go to church. We don't go to church. We are his church. We're his church. You and I are his disciples. I want to leave you with a couple challenges. Number one, I haven't looked at my notes, I know the one challenge, and I know the other one too, but sad to say my mind. But two challenges. Common sense. We got 4 weeks more. Aaron's teaching next week. 4 weeks. Aaron's teaching next week. I'll be teaching the third week. Aaron's teaching the fourth week. And I'll be teaching the fifth week. Our topics will be next week. Well, our topics will be
Loving in community.
Loving in community. You got it, Donnie. How'd you know that? Love by connecting. Third week, love by serving. The fourth week, love by giving. And that's not just talking about money by any means. And then the fifth week, love by sharing Jesus with others. Now, in closing, I want to encourage you today to come for 4 weeks, the next 4 weeks, without missing. Secondly, I want to encourage you to get into a small group. Get into a small group. Even if you have to all come to my group or Mike's group, Mike Anthony, we're so full. We are full. Mike's group has 14 in it. The Jackson's group only had six in it, but they're not meeting tonight, unfortunately, because of Eric White's son being having a problem with his health. But Lord willing, next week they will. My group meets in the auditorium, so I can take as many as I can. Mackey's group is meeting out at his house, and it's all in your bulletin, the address in Warriors Mark. We need groups in different areas. We need another group in Warriors Mark. We desperately need another group in Warriors Mark. We need a group in Tipton. We need a group in different places. Out in Vail, or what you call it out there, Bald Eagle. Seriously. Our small groups ministry is growing, and we need houses. And we need leaders who will lead a small group. If you're willing to do that, let me know today. We won't have a group there tonight, obviously, but you can come and see how a group works, and if you'd like to open your house to do it, that'd be great. But get into a small group. Two other things. Number one, the t-shirts are here. And as I said to you several weeks ago, I didn't put on them what comes generic. I had to be different. You know me. It's really obvious. I should have got bigger. It says, I love Christ Church. Because I do love Christ Church. That's the only church there is. It's Christ Church. Am I all right? My collar straight? Oh, the back is our motto, rooted in God's word, growing godly families. That's what we're about. And our church name, Tyrone, and then our website. We have the shirts. If you have ordered a shirt, they're here to pick up today. They are $10. That's what they cost us. And they will be out front. If you don't have the $10, you can pick it up and just write us an IOU. And if you didn't order a shirt, we will be taking additional orders for them if you weren't here that Sunday or new in the church. And then last but not least, the best part I've saved for last. Don't miss the donut fellowship next week. The donuts and coffee fellowship. That is for everybody. Everybody in this room. I guess they're not including the kids, but If you need to bring your little one, we'll have fun with her too. But all of you come to for coffee and donuts at 9:30 next Sunday morning before the morning service. All right? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word this morning. We do love your church, Jesus. I believe that you use the church to be a part of our growing, to be like you, and you use your church to be a light in this world, to be a testimony of your salvation and changing our lives. You use your church to love one another, that the world might say those are Jesus' disciples. Lord, please bless this study. Please bless the small groups tonight, our children as they come out, youth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right.